Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. This is John Rickgarn, your host, as always, of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. And after about 3 months of trying to connect, I'm finally glad to have this guest on today, Maureen McCann with Spartan Invest down in Birmingham, Alabama. Since this is going to be published here 3 days before Christmas, I'll just say Merry Christmas to all my listeners that we got Maureen finally on, and I'm glad that she's going to be able to talk about her experience and Spartan. Just a little backstory with from my end, I connected with Maureen first in, I want to say, mid-2018 and met her in person. This was March of 2019. 2019, I actually made 4 trips down to Birmingham to see different properties and how the company worked, and then also the inaugural Spartan Summit, which the third one will be coming up here in February of 2022. So stay tuned to the end of the show to possibly get some promos and additional information on that. So with that, I want to welcome Maureen to the show. Maureen, thanks for coming on the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast.
Well, it is my absolute pleasure, John. I think about the journey that we've taken since I first met you, right? Just starting out in real estate. Now, in the last 12 months, you launched a podcast, launched an incredible website, by the way.
Thank you. I really
like your website and all the recommended books that you recommend. I've read a lot of them. Some of them I haven't. So I'm going to have to tune in. And just to see where you and your wife now are with real estate and investing and welcoming your new son,
yep.
Ronnie, you've done a lot in the last 12 months. It's really impressive. So it's an honor and privilege really to be here.
Well, thanks. Well, the honor is mine to have you on. And maybe you could just kind of highlight a few things of, your background and, how you started at Spartan Invest, and maybe just an overview of Spartan Invest, the company, and what you do for investors.
Sure, would love to. So, hi, listeners. I am like you guys. I started out, I was a W-2 wage earner for a really long time, 15 years in medical device and pharmaceutical sales. And I had a harrowing idea one day, or a thought, actually. It was a harrowing thought, and said, in my mind, I thought, oh my gosh, I don't want to wake up when I'm 50 years old and have to ask somebody who's probably a boss who's younger than me if I could have 10 lousy days off of vacation to go spend some time with my 3 kids.
Yep.
That thought haunted me. So I thought, I have got to figure out a way that I can create a lifestyle that I want, right? I don't want to have to work a 9-to-5 job. I want to be able to spend time with my kids, take them on vacation, take them on nice vacations, give back to the community, do bigger and better things than what I was doing just, working for somebody else. And so I recognized very quickly that there are people in the world, the wealthy people in the world, they have something in their portfolio that tends to be quite large in their portfolio, and that's real estate.
Yep.
So that's where I got the idea of, I am going to vigorously pursue learning how to make money in real estate. And that started 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I know, a long time ago. So I started 13 years ago. I had listened to, this is so funny, probably many of your listeners, this has happened to them too. You're driving in your car, you hear an ad for, hey, come learn how to flip real estate for free. Okay, so hook, line, and sinker, I get roped into this event. Long story short is I went to the event. I was really nervous because after 3 days, I heard the pitch coming and I knew it was going to be some money to invest in the course. But I had just attended Tony Robbins, and it was like, hey, you've got to put your money on the table. You've got to play in the game if you want to win. So $10,000 was a lot of money for me at that time. I borrowed it from my 401k against everyone's advice, just telling me everything that I was going to lose out on it. but I decided to do it anyway. I didn't listen to the sheeple. I went and go ahead and I invested the 10,000. I took the course. I met some people that led me to turnkey rental properties. I wound up selling turnkey properties kind of as an affiliate marketer at first for this company based in Memphis. And I did such a good job in bringing a lot of my doctor clients back because I was a drug rep. So I didn't want to talk about drugs. I wanted to talk about real estate.
Right.
So a lot of my clients are my initial doctors from years past. And so sold some properties. They were really the company that in Memphis, they were really impressed. They hired me. I was there with them for about almost 5 years, learned the turnkey business, invested in my own properties, learned that, proved to myself that it worked. And then I teamed up with my business partners in 2013 and we launched Spartan Invest, which is now almost, let's see, 13, so 11 years or no, I can't do the math.
Was it 9 years?
Whatever, 9 years. There you go.
Almost there.
9 years. So almost 9 years there. And now we're, you know, we're a company with over 1600 doors, 46 million in revenue, adding about 350 doors a year. And that we had, you know, we got to meet you because you were at a pivotal point in your life where you were looking to find new ways to create cash flow. And that's how we met. So I love that Robert Kiyosaki kind of is probably the one who brought us together because we both read his book, Switched Our Mindset. And then you had an incident in your life where you wanted to pivot and look at doing something different than what you were doing before. And real estate was the thing for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I might have one up on you. I actually met Robert Kiyosaki at the Real Estate Guys Summit on Sand in Belize back in June. So highly recommend that for anyone.
Dang. I have to say, if I ever meet him, I would tell him this. I have probably had at this point in my 13-year career, tens of thousands of conversations. Mm-hmm. And I would say 98% of the people that I talk to, they refer to Rich Dad, Poor Dad as the book that was the paradigm shift. Me too. So had he never written that book, I don't think we would be on this phone call right now.
Agreed. Yeah. And they had just released, he had released the anniversary version of that a few years ago. I think it was published in 1997. I know, kind of back to Spartan Invest, where you do the Spartan Summit every year. Damon John's going to be the headline speaker come February. And Damon's mentioned numerous times Rich Dad, Poor Dad was kind of the catalyst for him for starting FUBU. And then obviously, you know, growing his millions and then being on a investor on Shark Tank. So I think it's fair to say he's impacted millions of lives. I guess I would say question the status quo of go to school, get a job, and save hard, work, invest in a 401k, and retire at 65, and that's the end all be all.
That doesn't work. That is not going to work. I mean, look at the majority of Americans in retirement; they do not retire with enough savings to sustain the longevity of their life. So,
right.
Read books, people. That's exactly what
things. or even audiobooks. If you're like me, I was on the road a lot with the previous job. Sometimes audiobooks are just as good. And like you said, a lot of those are a catalyst for me. I mean, even if the stars aligned and you have a great retirement nest egg come age 65, I've shared my story of what if you don't make it to 65. Both my parents passed away in their 50s, did everything right, and we can always hope that we make it to 65, but it's not guaranteed. And that's why I decided, well, why defer all this, money, lifestyle, enjoyment into the future? Why not have cash flow now and in retirement? So then I started obviously going down the rabbit hole of real estate and other investment means.
Well, you've certainly done an exceptionally thorough job.
Yeah, now I'm invested in, Minnesota, Arizona, Alabama, of course, Tennessee. And the last one was a duplex in the Quad Cities, Iowa.
That's so impressive. I mean, I love that you can share that with your listeners because there's some people that maybe just getting started and they don't even know where to start.
Yep.
But that's, you become a real estate investor on your first investment property, right? Mm-hmm. And then you build it successively one after the other. So it's always that same sort of adage. It's like, just start, just do it, just go. You're not going to know all the answers. Start, right? Do it anyway.
Exactly. So, you actually kind of bring up a good point. And obviously, Spartan Invest is a turnkey operator where you buy the property, maybe foreclosure, short sale, whatever the case may be, or currently now going into new builds, rehab it, fix it up, whatever, put a tenant in, and then sell that to an investor. And I always kind of ask, I've had a couple other turnkey providers on the show, what makes Spartan different than other turnkeys? There are some very good ones, and there's some not so good ones. There's I don't want to name names, but there's one guy's name rhymes with Satan Norris that I have two friends that were personally very, very burned by him. So much they did pay back all their investors, but they had to sell and liquidate, I want to say like 40 units. Both of them went back to full-time jobs and part-time jobs just to kind of make all their investors whole. And I obviously it was a big mess and certainly don't wish that on anyone. I myself can share, you know, my experience with you, Maureen. I remember one property that we were looking at. And strangely enough, I remember this. I was in the parking lot of our accountant after a meeting and you called me up and okay, it's Maureen's cell phone. What's she calling about? And basically you told me, yeah, that property you're looking at, don't buy it. And I'm thinking, well, you're a turnkey provider. Aren't you supposed to be encouraging me to buy this? And so I thought that was kind of odd. And long story short, I don't remember the details, but there was something just horrendously wrong with the, I think it was a foundation or something that would have cost an arm and a leg to fix. So you said, hey, let's just, you know, walk away from this. We'll find you another one. And that right there impressed me that, you know, okay, this isn't a company that's just going to try to, you know, throw some paint on a dilapidated house and try to sell it and make it work and try to just shove the problem onto an investor. But beyond that, what would you say kind of makes Spartan different from other turnkey operators?
Thank you for that. Yeah. So integrity is a big word. It's thrown around a lot, right? But integrity is actually doing what you say you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I have found that there are, like an example that you just provided a little while ago, there are people that don't do what they say they are going to do. I too had some clients that were affected by Satan.
Yep.
And it's hard to see, you know, this one guy, I remember he closed on a house a week before the house had burned down and nobody told him. And he didn't know. So he was getting rent checks, right?
Yep.
He was getting rent money, but he got a letter that was his property was condemned. He thought it was a mistake. So we called and no, his property wasn't condemned.
It'd been burned down,
right? So there are really, really bad. And then there's really, really good, right? And the difference between the two is integrity. Do what you say you're going to do. That's easy. It's easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's times where maybe us as a turnkey provider, we're selling a house, we find a big, you know, expensive error. And it's like, no, I can't sell that to that investor. We got to take this back, either fix it ourselves and sell, you know, sell on the open market or wholesale it out or do whatever, but we're not going to sell it to that investor. It's not right. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the real differentiator is we are a customer service focused company, right? In many turnkey operations, there's not too many that have a dedicated customer service department that is focused on the monthly communications with our investors. Look, we get it. Investors are very busy. They're new parents. They have jobs. They're coaching little league. They're trying to go to the gym to, you know, maintain their slim waistline at 50 years old.
Yeah, not me, but maybe someone else.
But their time is very limited. And so what they want to diversify into real estate, they want to be able to trust a provider that wants to see them win, wants to take their capital, invest their capital, and with the company that's going to be a good steward of that capital and get a consistent year-over-year return on that capital. And the only way that we can do that as a group and as a company is really through a paid-for-performance business model. Every single person in our company in Spartan and Atlas Rental Property, that's the name of the property management company. Sure. Everyone has a bonus structure directly tied to the outcome that we want, right? So I have people bonused on occupancy rate, turn time, days of security deposit, renewal rate, eviction rate, maintenance ratio, accounts receivable, everything that really matters to us as investors. I include myself in there.
Sure.
Because I am one, is those are the metrics that I want someone to consistently deliver on. And the only way that you can do that is incentivizing people to do that. Because guess what, John, the three industries that have the highest turnover rate, restaurants.
Yep.
Property management and construction.
Ouch.
Right? I'm two out of the three.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have to set up your business model to ensure that your team members are all pulling on the rope in the same direction as your investors. We want the same outcome. And if we do the heavy lifting, which is find the property, fund it, renovate it, place a qualified resident in it, manage it properly, and communicate on a monthly basis with our investors with monthly updates and incentivize them to do these things, mm-hmm. Then, you know, that's a better formula for consistent success.
Exactly.
Than not having that business model in place. So I would say, in short, integrity, mm-hmm. high quality of customer service focus, with a high level of communication with our investors, and then a quality product, no carpet, all, you know, replace sure. all the large CapEx.
Tenant resilient. I don't think there's anything tenant proof, so to speak, but yes, definitely the, you know, vinyl plank versus carpet and neutral paint colors, et cetera. And, you know, you had mentioned when we first met, and obviously they have the integrity piece. And back in early 2019, Heather and I, my wife, did a road trip, visited numerous markets. Let's see, we did St. Louis, Nashville, Memphis, Birmingham, a slight detour in Huntsville, Little Rock, and we were going to do Kansas City, but we had to skip that one. But just seeing, I think we had met or tried to meet with at least five turnkey providers. One forgot about our appointment entirely, so that was kind of shot them down. Another one, there was just so many kind of middlemen involved. And what I really like about Spartan is everything's in-house. So if there's a property management question or a billing question, I mean, obviously there might be different company or people per se, but it's all under the Spartan umbrella, from the, you know, rehabbing all the way to the property management. Again, not to name names, but there was one company that I think was based on the East Coast. They referred me to a promoter that was in Utah that sent me over to a property management company in St. Louis. And after meeting with them, I just decided I don't feel comfortable about this. And if something did happen, then it would be like, well, it wasn't our problem. You know, we got referred to you by this company, and this company did the rehab. Well, no, we didn't do the rehab. This company did it. And just exactly, more and more finger pointing. So myself, I can definitely appreciate that with Spartan, just everything's, you know, under one umbrella. And I obviously have the integrity piece of that.
And I also add one more thing to that, and I appreciate that, is the, you know, it's not only about the, you know, having specific goals assigned and outcomes assigned to specific team members. We have, call it a sales meeting, accountability meeting, Friday fun meeting, whatever you want to call it. Friday morning, 8:30, the entire company is in the conference room. And okay. We go over everyone's numbers, everyone's metrics, everything that they're getting measured on. And we do that because we learned when we attended one of the Inc. 5000 conferences is that there is no C-level information. You don't just keep all the stuff on the C-level and don't tell anybody else what else is going on. Because the point is that from the front office greeter that we have at our office, to the leasing agents, to the CFO, the CEO, and everybody in the company, everybody in between, everyone needs to know what is going on with our company and how yep. they contribute to the overall success. Mm-hmm. When we adopted that concept, it was awesome because everybody knows where we are sure. all the time.
Yeah. Well, and I think it just allows for more, I don't know, cross collateralization, and you have a lot of, you know, meeting of the minds. And I think even my time that I've worked with Spartan, now Amanda, she's gone to from, I think, customer relations to helping investors now, because she found a knack for that. And I, you know, I'm sure with those meetings, you know, maybe, Taylor has an idea to increase occupancy rates, and maybe Jason's got an idea for updating, you know, new paint schemes for the new construction or something like that. And just not having everything siloed, I think you can have a lot of, you know, brilliant minds bring what they have to the game, and everyone's better of that.
There is no perfection. It's sure. just getting better, right? Mm-hmm. It's just going. And usually how you get better, John, is through mistakes.
Yeah.
It's things that show up, right? Construction is a great thing. There's always like a problem somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's not in leasing, it's in construction, or it's in acquisitions. I know it's somewhere, right? And then the way that you get better as a company is the problem shows up, and now you have to all mastermind to figure out how do we fix this? How do we prevent it from happening again? How do we get better?
Sure. Right?
Those are the things, like, I don't mind talking about some of the challenges that we've had over the years, right? Because it gives us it gives me a platform to say, yeah, maybe in 2018, we weren't really good in leasing. We had some challenges in leasing in 2018, right? But because of that, because of those lessons that we learned in 2018, because we were trying to, one of the things we were trying to do is we wanted to give that one-on-one customer service, even with our potential renters, right? We wanted to make sure that there was a one-on-one interface, and we wanted to like show them all the properties. Well, only three, here's what's crazy. Three leasing agents we had at that time in 2018. We have six now, but we had three leasing agents, no call center where prospective renters could call in and find us, right? Okay, so fast forward to 20, and we didn't have electronic lock boxes because we're like, no, we want everything to be personalized. Sure. That was mindset, right? Okay, you can't scale up doing that. So we figured out pretty quickly, we implemented several things in 2019, hired a call center. Okay. We started capturing anywhere from 300 to 400 calls a week that we were missing before the call center, right? Then we added, instead of three leasing agents, we added three more. So we have a total of six full-time leasing agents. We invested $30,000 in electronic lockboxes. Had we not done that because of what happened in 2018, we wouldn't have been able to show properties in 2019 and 20 due to the COVID,
right?
So we had, and people that were trying to get electronic lockboxes during that time, no way, good luck. Right. So we were like, oh my God, what a blessing. Thank God we had problems leasing, you know, in that year. But we got so much better from that, and continue to do so as things pop up. Right. One thing that we're really focused on is helping protect the investor's asset at the expense of the renter. And so one of the things, Stephanie Devine, I got to give her a prop. She's my director of property management. Girl's been in that role 6 years. She's a rock star. She thought, how do we get, let's get a master policy to cover the four main things: fire, smoke, water damage, and sewer line backup into a rental property. Because if one of those things happens, say you've got somebody grease fire, the kitchen catches on fire. I would, without that master policy in place, we would have to go to the investor's insurance. They would have a deductible. Let's say their cash flow for the year was $3,000 and their deductible was
$5,000. Sure.
Right. So what Stephanie did was, when we got large enough, you can use your leverage when you've got a certain number of doors. We were almost at, I think, between 800 and 900.
Okay.
And she finally got this insurance company to agree to underwrite a master policy. And so the master policy is, it's $100,000 of coverage.
Okay.
That would cover those four things: fire, smoke, water, or sewer line backup into the house. And in the lease agreement, we write in that the renter is required to pay $10 a month to maintain the $100,000 worth of coverage
on
that property, right? So we're always looking for ways, because guess, we're all investors too. So we have properties that Stephanie is managing for us as well.
Sure.
So we're always looking for ways to reduce our costs, reduce turnover costs, reduce turnover, protect yourself if there is an incident at the house. Through an insurance master policy. So you just have to have that's probably another key differentiator, is the people, right? When you ask what's the differentiator between Spartan and other turnkey providers, is quality people on the bus that are A players, that are willing to do the work, that bring their creativity and problem solving skills. And, you know, it's my job, not your, that's not my job, that's your job.
Right.
It's not like that at all, the way that we operate internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can definitely attest in all the, you know, procedures you have in place, and, you know, that lead to higher occupancy, you know, less vacancy, you know, fewer problems for investors. You know, I can speak to that personally, where my first investment property with Spartan was in Talladega, started off with a 2-year lease. And I can't remember if it was Stephanie or Amanda or Taylor, someone had emailed me, this was earlier this year, like, yeah, the tenant's really happy. They want to sign for another 2-year lease. Is that okay? And I thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, no, absolutely not. I want them. You know, I want a vacant house. I don't want a tenanted house. So like, absolutely. If they're happy, you know, sign them on for another 2 years. So obviously if you weren't doing those things and making the tenant feel welcome and at home, or, you know, making that them feel like that is their house, they wouldn't be coming up, you know, 4 or 5 months before the renewal. Hey, can we renew for another 2 years?
Yeah. You know, that's a real focus. I mean, we look at, you know, internally as a leadership team and as a company, we look at we have lots of clients, right? We have our vendors that do business with us. We have our renters that rent from us, or our residents that rent from us. We have our investors that invest with us. Mm-hmm. So you have to, you know, people like the unexpected. They like the unexpected, not necessarily the bad unexpected, but the unexpected appreciation.
Right.
Right. And maybe a letter or a card or a gift card or a gift basket. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Stephanie and her team in property management, we give little swag bags, right, for when they first move in. Sure. It's not the cleaning products and stuff, right? But it's a nice little welcome letter and you know, just a candle and some nice things in this little welcome packet for them. And then, you know, we have for renters that pay on time consistently, we send them thank you notes. Right.
Oh, wow.
So grateful for the way that, you know, you've, you know, been working with us. We really appreciate you. Yeah. So you can do those little things that different, because it's hard, you know, to find the time to do them. But if you can do those little things to show that the investor, you appreciate them, as well as the renter, that you appreciate them as well, because guess what? The way that everybody makes money is with occupied properties.
Right.
So I need happy people. I need happy renters.
Exactly. Yep. And now at the time of this recording, now, when I first got introduced to Spartan, you were just in Birmingham. I think in 2019, you were looking at Huntsville. I remember you had, we drove by one property you had just picked up in Huntsville, and hindsight 2020, I'm kicking myself for not going into that market, you know, 2.5 years ago, but so be it. And now you've also branched into another state, or Chattanooga, Tennessee. Of those three markets, what would you say are the, you know, primary strengths of each one of those, and why Spartan decided to invest in those?
Yeah, so we definitely love emerging markets. I don't want to go into a market that's been on the top 10 list of the best real estate investment markets, you know, for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. You and I could probably name them, because everybody knows who they are.
Yep.
You want to go into those emerging markets, unknown markets, the ones that are under the radar, but there's lots of good things that are happening. Mm-hmm. From an economic standpoint, from a job growth standpoint, from a population growth standpoint, from an infrastructure standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so you know, kind of keeping an eye for those types of things, a diverse and stable economy, and also a business friendly climate area. Right. Yeah. So what I've learned, John, in my 13 years in this business, and really, I would say, even the last 8 to 9 years with Spartan, and I'm going to use Birmingham as the prime example, is when you have a city that has been maybe forgotten about, has been neglected, no one really thinks about it. Mm-hmm. When you get the state, I look at what the state, local, and government officials did to revitalize a city. And the two things that the two things that stand out so clearly in my mind for Birmingham, because I remember, and if Lindsay and Clayton were here, and I was telling you this story right now, when they first mentioned Birmingham to me, I was selling properties in Memphis, and they had mentioned Birmingham. I literally rolled my eyes and I was like, Birmingham, Alabama. What is in Birmingham, Alabama? But I was curious. So I was going to go check them out, you know, and I did. And I was quite surprised. But that was in 2012. Mm-hmm. And 2012 to 2021, massive difference
in
what this city looks like. And there's two things that I can cite specifically. Number one, the Alabama State Historical Commission in 2012 issued a refundable tax credit.
Okay.
For anyone that was going to come in and renovate any building, whether it's commercial or residential, within the historic district, which is mostly downtown Birmingham. You know what that is a call for? Hey, our city is ugly. We don't have enough money to fix it up ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need private capital to come in. How are we going to incentivize private capital to come in and fix up our buildings? Because it's mm-hmm. gorgeous. I mean, the architecture is absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. But when it's neglected, you know, it becomes a city of disrepair, and it needs a little TLC. So the Alabama State Historical Commission issued that refundable tax credit. And for those of you listening, if you don't know what that is, it is a dollar for dollar reduction on your tax liability. Okay. So if you're a big corporation and you just made your tax bill was $10 million and you came in and you redid the Pizzitz building, $70 million renovation, you were able to deduct up to $5 million off of your tax bill, right? For that year. Mm-hmm. So in residential, it was up to 50,000. Now that program was supposed to expire in 2017, but John, because of the success, they've extended it to 2022. And so when you look now at the downtown area of Birmingham, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The city couldn't spend all the money themselves. They needed to attract private capital. And they did in that work. So that was number one. Number two, there was a very concerted effort to go out and find, they need jobs. The economy is based off of employing people and jobs in the local area. So they aggressively pursued the auto manufacturing industry. They got in planes, went across, different countries, and basically said, we'll create the business-friendly climate for you to come and move your operations here. They got Honda, Hyundai, Mercedes-Benz, Toyota, Mazda.
Wow.
manufacturing plants, billion-dollar plants that employ thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And they had thousands of people that needed employment. So those two tactics were very, very strategic in their growth. Now, the other thing that they did is they're now going after the tech sector. Mm-hmm. They've been wooing Silicon Valley like you had not believed, right? And getting CEOs, bringing them into the Birmingham Bound program, which is, let us show you what we can do when you come to our city. Let's see the benefits that you get if you move your headquarters or if you open up satellite offices and things like that. So they're just going like industry by industry and, wanting to strengthen the diversity of the different companies that are there. And then basically create more jobs. And so Birmingham was a great role model for me to watch that transformation happen.
Okay.
Huntsville's a little different. Huntsville is basically aerospace engineering, government contracts, technology. You've got big name companies like Northrop Grumman, Teledyne, Airbus, Lockheed Martin, Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin.
Okay. Right?
Anything to do with rockets, aerospace, engineering, you've got these. It's the second largest industrial park in the United States. It's called Cummings Research Park. It's the second largest research park in the United States. It's the fourth largest in the world. It's directly across the street from the University of Huntsville. So Huntsville offers that. You think about it. I don't really see the government. I think I'm going to say this and I'm probably going to regret saying it. I don't really see the government going out of business.
some areas I kind of wish they would, but that's a whole another discussion.
Yes, I know. I know what you're talking about. But when you're looking at, when you're an investor, you're looking into it, a market, you want to look for a stable and diverse economy. You want to see jobs that are growing there. And what the mayor did in Huntsville, his forethought was, look, the motto was, if you build it, they will come. And his whole premise was builds as many roads as he can. He wants that infrastructure. As a matter of fact, it was the one road that he built to nowhere, actually, was why the Toyota Mazda group agreed to move their head or establish a manufacturing plant, was because they needed that space for the they needed the space to build their manufacturing plant, but they also needed access through rail and roadway to get the cars to where they need to go.
Oh, sure.
Right. So you got it. And so manufacturing is huge in Birmingham. It's also huge in Huntsville and in Tuscaloosa. But if you're going to make something and you're going to sell it in mass, you have to be able to transport it easily. Right. So the mayor of Huntsville, he knew that. And so Huntsville, because you've seen it 2 years ago to how it is today.
Yep. And two and a half years ago still. But yeah.
Yeah. And it's it's difficult to acquire properties in Huntsville because of how competitive it has become. But it is one of the most fastest growing markets that I've seen.
Yeah.
Just from the job growth, population growth, the housing demands there are just insane. It's like my leasing agent there, I love her to pieces, but she looks like a rock star because we get her a house and she's got it rented just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? because of how high of a demand there is. So that was an emerging market that now has turned into a hot market.
Right, exactly.
And then with Chattanooga, that city, it sits at the junction of four interstate highways and the Tennessee River. So it makes it a prime location for several industries, mostly manufacturing. Here I am again with the manufacturing word. It's food, chemicals, machinery, textiles, apparel, primary metals. It's a logistics company or a logistics city, mining, resources, extraction, farm crops. Lots of crops are made there, from soybeans to cotton to cattle to hogs. And so again, you manufacture these things, but then you have to be able to transport them. That's why everyone loves Memphis.
Right. Memphis, yep.
Right. It's got rail, river, runway, roadway.
Yep.
So FedEx is right there. Yep. Boom. They can get stuff anywhere quickly, coast to coast.
And I think the second busiest airport in the world after Hong Kong, if I remember correctly. So.
Wouldn't surprise me because of how you think about how FedEx, you know, and how large they are and how important they are to business. So, but from a perspective of how quickly they can get things to where they need to go, these manufacturing hubs wind up finding places like a Birmingham, like a Huntsville, like a Chattanooga that have free roadway, river, runway, freeway to get people or to get products to where they, to the people.
Cool. Wow. Yeah, I was, and when I first heard about that, I gotta admit, I needed to pull out a map, like, okay, where the hell is Chattanooga? But remember being on a webinar that you and Lindsay had put on, I think, January. And yeah, there is a lot of growth drivers, you know, in that market and the other markets you know, have brought to market too. I mean, I can attest, I remember working with Taylor late 2019 and we were pretty focused on Birmingham, but she's like, you know, there's this suburb, Hueytown, Bessemer area. I think you should invest in there. And again, like pull out a map, where the hell is that at? I mean, Talladega I knew. Okay. Talladega Nights. Okay.
Talladega Nights.
Exactly. Talladega there's a connecting. It's like, it's Bessemer, Hueytown. What in the world are you talking about? And okay, we found a small two-bedroom house purchased for $97,000 2 years ago. And it was, you know, towards the end of winter, took a while to occupy. I was like, well, Spartan really likes this market. Let's just, you know, see what they have. And I think the most telling sign that was a good market is the number of emails and texts and postcards again in the mail of, hey, we'd like to buy your house. And last time I looked, I think it would appreciate or, you know, sell for 125, maybe 132,000 somewhere there. I got kind of tired of all the wholesalers. I finally said to one, all right, 150 grand, it's yours. And I haven't heard from them since. So my phone's been a little quieter. But I think the fact that, okay, if there is, you know, wholesalers, other investors, you know, rent to own places that are wanting to purchase your property and don't just hound you, then I think it's probably a good market. And like I said, going from 97,000 purchase price to, you know, 130-ish, I can't do the math of that in my head, but a nice appreciation over a 2 year period. So now with those three markets, and you kind of mentioned with the distribution hub marine, especially with Chattanooga, kind of going into, I don't want to say bad news, but just, you know, we've all been impacted by some way, shape or form with the COVID pandemic starting in March of 2020. And we're going into month 18, 19, whatever we're at. As a turnkey provider, and I think the media, the news outlets maybe kind of scared a lot of people with, oh, we're having these eviction moratoriums and, oh, you can't kick these people out. And, oh, we're going to have these mortgage forbearances, et cetera, et cetera. You know, how has that impacted Spartan, or has it impacted Spartan? And how does the Alabama and Tennessee markets favor landlords versus, say, Illinois or California or New York, per se?
Well, the good news is that the states that we operate in, they are very landlord friendly.
Okay.
I don't think there is even a turnkey operator that exists in California.
Right? I don't know why they would, but yeah, that's another discussion.
It doesn't work. The numbers don't work, and then you know the tenant has all the rights, not the landlord.
Exactly.
So Tennessee and Alabama are very landlord friendly. If we have to evict, we can do it in a pretty expeditious compared to other states.
Sure.
You know, timeline. So now COVID, that was an interesting, this was an interesting arrival. Now, if I'm going to take us back, let's say you and I were talking and it was March of 2020.
Yeah.
And you asked me this question, how is COVID going to affect your business? I literally remember talking to Lindsay, my business partner. I'm like, are we even going to have a business? I don't even know. Right? I mean, we just did not know what the impact or what the exposure was of all of our renters. Now we're not a Las Vegas. We're not a, you know, entertainment hospitality based, economy in Birmingham. No one's trying to get on airplanes and sip martinis by a pool and listen to EDM music in Birmingham, Alabama. That's not happening. Right. But what we found was, is that we were somewhat exposed, but not as exposed, and compared to other markets.
Okay.
So let me just give you some, I'll give you guys some numbers. Pre-arrival of COVID, our eviction rate, now it's something that it fluctuates, right? But it's something that had stayed below 1% for us, 0.4, 0.7. It's kind of bouncing around there, right?
Sure.
COVID arrives and we're like, what's going to happen, right? We don't know how many of our renters are affected. So our eviction rate shot up through COVID to 3.3.
Okay.
Or 0.7 to 3.3. And that was out of 1,500 properties.
Sure.
So not a huge exposure, but there were definitely some people that were affected through job loss. Right. And so then there was the moratoriums that came in and it was like, okay, well, how can we navigate this? We did not. So we actually pursued a different route. So yes, the 3-month moratorium that came in from the states were the first ones to show up. And then the CDC came in behind and then basically said for all of 2020. Right. No evictions.
Right. Yep.
Like, oh boy. Okay. But we do not operate and think like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, because we recognize, look, here's the deal. We recognize there are going to be people legitimately affected.
Yeah.
Those and then the opportunists who will take advantage of, I don't have to pay rent and not get kicked out.
Yep.
So we approached the Jefferson County is the county that we do the majority of our business in Alabama.
Okay.
And we had our attorneys approach, you know, the city. And we basically said, hey, here's what we're asking for. For those that are affected, we're going to help them.
Right.
And
yep.
Through like different job resources and helping them get ERA money, helping with the application process. Whatever we had to do to help them, we did. For those opportunists, we basically said, we want two things. We want a declaration letter stating that they were personally affected financially. Mm-hmm. That's easy. Anyone can just sign a piece of paper.
Yeah, just sign here.
The second thing we needed was a letter from their employer stating that they had reduced hours or were officially laid off. Now, if they could not produce those two things, we were granted permission to continue.
Okay. Yeah. And I think the employers would obviously be a little bit more open about that. I myself heard some stories here in Minnesota where, I don't know, it's definitely more of a landlord friendly state, so to speak. But yeah, the employers would even say, oh, no, you know, so-and-so wasn't impacted at all, and got to the point that the attorney general's office ended up saying, nope, you're still not going to evict these people. Well, if they haven't affected, why can't we evict them? And, you know, don't want to go down that political rabbit hole, but definitely I personally like Alabama, very landlord friendly, as well as other states like Tennessee and Florida. Good to hear that only was, what'd you say? 3.3%. Yeah. 3.3% eviction rate. I myself can attest, my one rental didn't skip any rent during the entire time of COVID. The other one, I know he unfortunately got COVID and I think he was laid off but held up for like a month or so from his job. So there's a couple late payments. I think Stephanie emailed me like, hey, are you fine with waiving a few late fees? I said, sure. And as of, I want to say last February, I think it was all caught up. So, you know, myself personally wasn't affected as much as other people in other markets with all those moratoriums. So
I will say that the overall effect for COVID for the single family rental space has been actually positive. People, what I've learned is they're you know, people valued space more. They valued more of a commodity now than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And I think New York has probably shifted, but at the time, this was kind of, let's call it a year ago data, there were 16,000 vacancies, vacant apartments in New York, which is unheard of, right?
Wow.
But essentially it was the people just wanted their own elbow room. They wanted their own piece of dirt. They wanted to get out of a big box and live into a single family.
Yep.
So we actually had a record breaking year in 2020.
Wow.
A variety of metrics. And it was really because COVID was driving renters, prospective renters out of the boxes and into single family. I'm not sure if that's switching now, if people are kind of feeling more comfortable and moving back into that, into the bigger cities again. But if you can work from home and your home, you know, you can work from home now, your kids are being, there was virtual schooling. So space became a really valuable, space at home became really valuable.
And sure.
We had to hire even more people to help with the applications that were coming in and the phone calls that were coming in, because it was a snowfall. It was a windfall of activity. So that was a good thing from COVID. I would also say too, what Spartan really did, when you were asked earlier about what's the differentiating factor, and I told you the team, like Stephanie Devine, the property director or property management director, her and her team, they did a phenomenal job, right? Because $46 billion was going to be distributed for emergency relief funds, right?
Yep.
The first stimulus package went directly to a social security number that made $75,000 or less, right?
Yep.
And people were buying. And then I saw this really cool article. It was funny. It was like, what did you spend the money on? I bought, oh God, what are the game things now?
PS5 or brand new.
Yeah. I bought this. I'm like, it's supposed to be like survival money.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
So then the second stimulus, the $46 billion, that's still not fully distributed.
Right.
I think it was the last time it was like $4 or $5 billion that had been distributed. Jeez. But to take that amount of money, and now you go, okay, we're going to get it in the hands of the landlords and the utility companies. But we've never done this before. We don't have any channels to do it. So we have to establish this all. We have to create an application process to do it. Mm-hmm. And we need all this information, not only from the renter, but from the property management company. And so the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing, but we jumped on it. Stephanie and her team, they jumped on this right away because we knew there's only a certain amount of money, right? And if you're not at the front of the line, you're not getting anything if you're at the back of the
line.
So we did this. They organized this team. They were filling out the applications, the part that they could do. And then they were, you know, bringing in the renters so they can do their part and all this documentation that they needed to support. It was logistically a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of hours passed, you know, past working hours is what these guys did, but they did it because they wanted to be the first in line to get that ERA money, which we did. Now the debacle was the first initial application. They're like, yeah, that's not going to work. We got to redo it again. They had to redo.
Oh boy.
Application process again. It was just nuts. They had to find different ways to get the money to the right people. They are the right people. So anyway, we were, I think the last count was like over 700,000
that
we had collected in emergency relief, you know, relief funds that caught up our investors, you know, that were in arrears. The investors still had to pay the mortgage, right?
Yep, exactly.
The rent wasn't coming in, but we were able to recapture a lot of that and get investors whole from that program. Now, had that Stephanie and her team not worked as diligently and as tirelessly as they did, they get like all the awards that you could possibly give this year for absolute astonishing effort to help investors and renters.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Wow, that is impressive. Mm-hmm. So now as we
that's what you get with Spartan. You get people that are really
exactly. So, well, as we kind of winding down here, the podcast, Maureen, I did want to just touch base on one last thing. If you want to talk about the Spartan Summit coming up in February and anything new or forthcoming in 2022, or maybe some new markets you're hoping to get into.
Thank you, John, for the opportunity to talk a little about Spartan Summit. Guys, do not miss this. The first time we did this summit, I think, were you there, John? You were
yep,
there.
Yep, I was at the first one, 2019. Yep.
We hosted all that ourselves. We did not charge anybody. And everybody that was there, they were like, I would have paid $500 to come to this event. It was so well done from a quality of content, quality speakers, the entertainment that we provided. You could have gone to, you know, five-star dinner or Top Golf or I forget what the other, the pub crawl thing. Yeah.
Or Pies and Pints, I highly recommend in downtown Birmingham if you're in the area.
Right. So it was, that was our way of just, we wanted to make sure that we believe that an educated investor is a smarter investor and a more confident investor. And I want that for, our investors. I have people that are brand spanking new and they're so nervous. And I'm like, this is the event that you need to go to because you're going to be in a room with like-minded people with all various levels of experience. And you're going to hear quality speakers on how to protect yourself from taxes, how to protect your assets, what kind of lending platforms can you use to acquire properties from your 401, from your self-directed IRA to your, you know, conventional financing, selling stocks. There's taking equity out an all-in-one loan. There's so many variety ways to find capital to get started. And then we've got, this is our first year. We actually have a really big headline speaker. Yep. Damon John, he's coming to talk about just business success. You know, and like you were saying, you know, he read Rich Dad Poor Dad too, and that shifted his mindset. So if this is one of those events you don't want to miss, come see the city, come meet the team. That's the thing. You really want to get a gut check as an investor. Like, who are these people? They're so far away. Are they really as good as they say they are? And the only way you're going to know is if you come meet us face to face and you see the quality products, see the quality of the leadership and the team members. And that just comes from interfacing. So we'd love to have you. That's February 16th through the 18th.
Yep.
And you can find, I think you've actually got a little place.
Yep. Yeah, I'll have a link in the show notes as well as a promo code. You can get 10% off your tickets if you utilize that. So be sure to, if you're listening to this on the road, be sure to click on that link later and get a nice little discount on your tickets. And obviously meet Maureen and Damon John and the rest of the Spartan team.
Yeah. And I will give you this little tidbit. So you asked about other markets that we are... we're always going to be expanding into new markets, just so the listeners know, right? But we just did move some people down from Birmingham to Montgomery.
Okay. All right. So also an hour.
But I'll tell you this. I like, if you guys, you probably are very well aware of this resource, but the U-Haul 2020 migration trend.
Yep.
U-Haul puts a migration trend out every single year. I really love more markets that are around in Tennessee, outside of Nashville, Clarksville, Cooksville, or Freesboro. Lots of people moving there, according to that 2020 migration trend. Knoxville, Tennessee, too, is another big area. So I want to see us expand more into those markets.
Cool. Yeah, and with that U-Haul market I've had on my show a couple of times, too, where a lot of people moving out of California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey. So I'm always a big fan of going, investing in markets that people are going to. So,
yeah. And they want space. If they can work from home now, they just want space. And that's one thing that Alabama and Tennessee offers is a lot of space, a lot of house for very little money, especially from the markets that they're leaving. And the cash flow is good too.
And on a final note, Maureen, if my listeners, you know, interested in hearing more about Spartan, maybe looking at some investment properties or even getting on the Spartan list to be notified of additional properties that as they come to market, what would be the easiest way to reach out to you and the Spartan team?
I would say that we've got a phenomenal website, that we've got a contact form. You can go to spartaninvest.com. You can also reach me personally on my email, which is my first initial M.
Thank you for listening.
My last name, McCann.
Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.
I'll see you there, John. Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.